This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
I'm Allie and I live in Southern California. I'm a huge fan of OTI. Their joyful outlook on sobriety is what finally inspired me to quit drinking. I've been a member since day one and I'm rapidly approaching 365 days alcohol-free, which is unreal. I love that Ben and Shaz are not just the podcast hosts. They also openly engage with members during the multiple weekly Zoom meetings and interact on the community member forum. You will not find a more supportive group of people. There's nothing like this in the United States. I'm beyond grateful to be a part of the Sober Rebellion.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Really excited. It's a Monday night. It's my most favourite day of the week. It is another episode of Over the Influence. I think we can say we're the world's biggest, bestest alcohol-free podcast. Probably. Tiny little disclaimer in there. Really excited to chat to tonight's guest. Before I hand over to Freddie to find out who it is this evening, a little bit about ourselves. If you are just joining us for the first time, welcome. You've got a whole load of other episodes to go at. Series 1, Series 2, and then we started Series 3 and we never ever stopped. We are now weekly, filling your ears, singing about the joys of alcohol-free life and singing about sobriety. My name is Sharon Hartley. I live in Lancashire in the northwest of England. Nobody calls me Sharon. Everybody calls me Shaz or Shazza. I am about 3 and a bit years alcohol-free, about to celebrate my 4th alcohol-free birthday. And it just gets better and better and better. Woohoo! I can see Ben doing a little woohoo in the corner there. Pick up yourself, Shaz. Loving sober life. I will never, ever go back. And none of this was supposed to happen. And it just shows you that put the work in and it will pay dividends. It's a little gift to yourself that just keeps on giving. Somebody else on this pod, also celebrating a freaking terrific milestone, and I'm really excited about this one. It's Background Ben, although he's no longer in the background, he's very much in the foreground because he's very, very alcohol-free. Evening, Ben.
Hello. Yep, 500 days alcohol-free as of last Thursday. When this comes out, we'll be out. Just a quick disclaimer, we are recording before my 500 days, but I feel quite confident I'm going to get there. So yeah, 500 days.
If you don't get there, it's going to be really, really shit for this podcast.
Yeah. I'm delighted. Now, I'm a podcast producer by trade, used to be in the radio industry, an industry soaked in booze. Having said that, we've discovered through this podcast that every industry is soaked in booze, mm-hmm. especially in the UK. But yeah, I was drinking in my 20s because it was fun, in my 30s because I was stressed, gave it up initially for 3 months, then went 6, then went 12. And actually, I did think I'd go back to it. I'd go back to drinking after 12 months. I could always say, oh, I've had a year off the booze and be proud of that. But actually, I got there and thought, life's so much better. Why would I ever want to go back to the way I felt before? I don't want another hangover again in my life. I like waking up on a Sunday morning, feeling fresh and ready to go. And I've got, you know, 500 days. It's a lot to do with you two. Listening to you guys in the early days, especially. Surrounding yourself with alcohol-free content is so important, whether you read it, whether you listen to it, whether you watch it, especially in the early days. Got to talk to Freddie, who's here. Over 1,000 days now, aren't you, Freddie?
No.
Oh, nearly 1,000 days.
I might say I've had a drink.
That would have been a
shit podcast advert, wouldn't it? Hello, everybody. My name's Freddie. Ben, Shazza. You two really do put the rocket in my pocket every single day, and I'm so happy to be here. I did thumb through the calendar the other day, so I'm at 985. So
amazing.
Whatever the days are, 3rd of December, Friday the 3rd of December, that is when I hit my 1,000 days. So
amazing.
Fingers crossed, but yeah, I've got a feeling I might get there, so let's hope. But yeah, I'm very excited to be here. I used to be the super stressed, hard drinking party boy. I'm sure I probably fell out of the same nightclub as our guest that we've got on the show today on many occasions when I was living in London. But yeah, now at the moment I live in New Zealand, so that's nice. I'm just living the hard life here with summer on its way, just on the beach and sipping an alcohol-free cocktail in my very macho way. I'm super excited. I'm going to shut up because we've got an amazing guest here. But I'm so grateful for you two, our guest, 1,000 days on the way, world's number one alcohol-free podcast. We are knocking those milestones out of the park. This is going to be a good one.
I'm blown away by Freddie's enthusiasm this evening. He's very, very excited. And just for our listener, I just want to say how fresh you're looking, Freddie. You're looking, you're sun-kissed. I mean, you've had a nice haircut. You're looking lean. You're looking toned and tanned. Bloody hell.
Wow. Abs on his abs.
I'd like to make the effort for over the influence, obviously.
What did Ben say there? Abs on his abs.
Abs on his abs. The man with 1,000 abs, Freddie Bennett. Now, Freddie, sorry to be a boring producer here, but the reason I went second in the intro today, usually you go second after Shaz has done their welcome to over the influence bit. But you're doing our big showbiz guest intro today because you've got a big showbiz sober guest.
I've actually prepared something.
Oh,
you know,
God.
It's going to be a good episode. It's time to give the world what they want. We're about to discover what happens when two unstoppable objects collide. Over the influence, get up on your feet, because today, dear listener, you're in for a treat. This guy is famous the whole world over because he's changing lives and he's getting people sober. And if you're ever feeling down and you're wanting a drink, just scroll through Instagram and smile with Mr. Pink. This guy has gone viral, but you don't need no injection. He's got the sober knowledge to give you education. He's funny, he's sexy, he's making us think. You call him Better Life Guy, but we call him Matt Pink! Pow!
Oh, Jesus! Have you had an intro like that, Matt?
Wow. Oh,
crikey, right. Have a good show, guys. I'll see you later. My work here is done.
Wow,
Matt,
thank
it's
you,
an
thank
absolute
God.
Pleasure to be here. In case anyone didn't get that, Matt Pink, better known as Better Life Guy, Instagram sober superstar. We are so happy to have you here on Over the Influence. Welcome, my good man.
Thank you so much. I was wondering if I was going to get a word in on this podcast with you three.
Seriously, yeah. You'd be lucky, Matt.
Thank you so much, mate. I'm really looking forward to listening to that in my ears on the tube when it comes out. That's quite fulfilling. It's made me feel very nice, and I'm very pleased to be here on a Monday night. I've been hinting to Freddie to come on for a while. He sent me a message a few weeks ago. He said, the time is now. So my time has been a long time coming, but I'm so pleased to be here. This is the one I've been wanting to come on, the world's number one podcast. Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome, and it's certainly been worth the wait. Matt, you're the only guest who has reduced Freddie into some sort of rapping nightmare. I mean, what was that?
It was unbelievable.
It was poetry. Like, that was, I was bent over my desk last night, furiously scrubbing away, writing. Yeah. Like, this is, yeah, writing. And there was something, speaking of that, actually, there was something that that Matt gives me that rhymes with injection, but I thought I probably can't say that because that's a family show.
Don't go there. Let's move this on. Matt, that was one hell of an intro, Freddie. Thank you so much. It is wonderful to have you on the podcast. For somebody that might be sober and not have a clue who you are in the sober community and on Instagram, and I can't imagine there's many people, just remind us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do, Matt.
Yeah, so I am Matt Pink, and I am called Better Life Guy on Instagram, mainly on Instagram. I'm a little bit on Facebook, but mainly on Instagram. And yeah, I've got a very colourful feed. I try to play on the fact my name's Pink. I am trying to grab people's attention all around the world by doing stupid reels, stupid things, and yeah, just keeping it very bright, fun and airy. Because I think the whole sober space sometimes can be a little bit serious, a little bit boring. So I'm just trying to jazz it up a little bit. Which sounds like I'm in the right place with you guys. And that's what I've been doing. So 18 months sober. I've been doing my Better Life Guy account only since January this year, which is phenomenal because I hit 20K followers yesterday.
I saw that. That's so amazing.
I'm so blown away by that. I wanted to try and get to 10K by the end of the year, and I've done 20K in 10 months. So I think I'm just in the right place at the right time. And people are, you know, the sober world's exploding. And people like myself, Freddie, Andy Ramage, that have been sort of shouting about it for a number of years now, I just feel like incredibly grateful to be sober, but also to be grateful to be a part of this wonderful community, because it really is a wonderful community for the wonderful people that all got the same agenda, really, which is just helping other people to live a better life. Hence the name.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Colourful and fun, right up our street. Matt, thank you for being here. You said that you are 18 months alcohol-free. Can we rewind 18 months and beyond and just find out a bit about your past and your history and Matt Pink before Better Life Guy, maybe as the drinking guy?
Yeah, sure. So I basically had what I would call a fairly normal relationship with alcohol. Grew up, my dad was a drinker, an English drinker, if you like. So every weekend he would have a few beers. He'd always have a few beers in a curry on a Saturday night. In the week, he might have a few beers, but generally I was surrounded by sort of beer and wine, but no more or less than anyone else who I knew. So that was kind of what I grew up to know as normal. So getting into adulthood, sort of took on the same sort of behaviour, really. Sort of drank a lot the weekend, had a curry at the weekend, and sort of followed suit with my dad. But also had quite an eye on, I was quite a good footballer and quite keen runner. So I quite liked my sport and I was quite reasonably good at it. So I tried to hang on to that for as long as I could, whilst also taking up the hobby of drinking, until I got to sort of my mid-20s, where one thing had to give and the obvious one was football, because it's incredibly hard to play football or run at any good level when you're also drinking and you're also 25. So I started to sort of knock that on the head and go move in towards sort of having probably a few more beers or stay. I was working in the West End of London quite early on in my life. So started like going to the parties after work and having a beer after work and whatnot, getting into that whole sort of like West End lifestyle. And then got married when I was in my late 20s, had a daughter in my late 20s, Lily, and then had a son when I was around 30. And then sort of thought I had it all made, good job, London West End, like I said, married, 2.4 children, boy and a girl. And then unfortunately and tragically, my son died in his sleep when he was just 4.5 months old. And I was only 30 at the time. It was around my 30th birthday. And it just came out of nowhere, just died in sleep from sudden infant death syndrome, which is also known as cot death. But quite an old baby, you know, usually that happens in the first 3 months, and it was 4.5 months. No reason for it other than just bad luck. Can't be put down to anything. It was just literally one of those things. And my relationship with alcohol at that moment sort of turned from one of something I wanted to something I needed. And I sort of found a bit of refuge with drinking. It's a difficult one because obviously my wife had lost her son. My parents had lost their grandson. Everywhere I looked around me for sort of like a bit of a shoulder to cry on, people were already crying. So I tried, and my company were really good, and they put me into sort of like some really high-end counselling sessions in London, which I just couldn't seem to get on with. I didn't like talking to a stranger. So I just decided to, people kept saying to me, it gets easier with time. So I just thought, fuck it, can I swear on it?
As much as you like that.
I thought, well, if that's the case, if it gets better with time, then I'll just drink myself stupid for a couple of years and then come out of it and everything will be sweet. And obviously that didn't work out too well. And the more I drank, the more I sort of became reliant on drugs as well, because I was like, that's not really hitting the spot. So I started sniffing coke and smoking and just really just lost all like control of myself, just trying to actually fundamentally keep a job and support a family. But that was my out. That was kind of my secret habit and also my public habit. But that was kind of like 5-6 years of doing that until I lost everything, lost my family, lost my marriage. I just didn't really give a shit about anything, to be honest. And I didn't know that. I thought I did, but I didn't now in hindsight. Which actually ironically decided that was like the turning point for me, really, because that was when I hit like a real rock bottom, when I was kind of didn't ever, you know, I'd lost the family home. I didn't wake up and my kids weren't there and blah, blah, blah. So at that point, I was really like pretty much suicidal, with just didn't care at that point. And then I had like a really weird moment where I'd been to see a spiritualist, where I said the counselling didn't work for me. I went to see a spiritualist in a bit of desperation. I'd always thought that was just a load of bollocks. And my mum had been throughout my life, and I thought, well, yeah, what are they going to tell you? Your great nan's there, and she wants to say hello. I thought it was all just like really nonsense. But I was so desperate. I went to see one, and she really actually made me feel better. And when I left there, and I was like in tears, but I was like, I really want to come see you again. And she was like, well, she held my hand. She was like, don't worry, if we need you, we'll come to you. And I left it at that, and I didn't think anything of it. And then a while later, when I was sort of at rock bottom, I was drinking in a bar for 2 or 3 days deep in Regent Street. And this guy came over to me out of nowhere, and he said, I need to speak to you. And he was like, you've got a really good life. You've got a lot going for you. You've had a tragedy happen to you. You've got a daughter called Lily. He started telling me all these things about my life. And I've met a new girl called Kirsty, who I'm now married to. And I didn't really know if I wanted to get into a relationship again. I didn't really know what to do in my life. I was just existing. And he said, you need to go with her. She's really good for you. You know, you're going to live to your 97. These habits are your problem. And he kept repeating himself. And from the moment he left me feeling like, actually, I've got worth here. Actually, I've got a bit of reason to be here. Actually, I can ditch these habits and I can live till I'm 97 and I can do stuff. And for the first time, I felt a bit like a comeback was on. And he gave me a bit of direction. He was like, stop these habits and go in with this girl, beginning with K, he kept saying. So I rang Kirsty, met her again, ended up moving in with her pretty much straight away, as we're all or nothing kind of people. You can probably relate to that. And then that was it. The comeback kind of started. And I'd found someone in Kirsty that was someone who I really liked, obviously, but she was completely impartial to the situation, didn't know Rocco, which was my son's name, didn't know anything about anything. So I found myself quite like drinking with her at night, spilling it all out, like letting it all off my chest. I could really feel the weight sort of coming off me. I could feel for the first time ever that I was talking to someone and it was having an effect, a positive effect. And so I kept doing that. And the more I was talking to her, the less I started feeling the need to drink. And for the first time, probably a year into us in our relationship, I sort of thought I could have a week off the drink here. I don't feel like I need it because I'd offloaded all this sort of trauma and everything that was on my mind. So I started taking a week off or a few days off, and I started really going back to the gym for the first time and taking a bit of care of myself and eating a bit better. And then one thing led to another, and I found Andy Ramage on, I think it was like the whole spiritual thing again, without sounding too woo-woo, like it just appeared somehow. So Andy Ramage on Rich Roll's podcast. I don't even know how it happened, but I thought, oh, who's this guy? And he's talking about sobriety and he's talking about drinking. And I sort of thought, I'll watch this. It was an hour and a half. And I laid in my bed. I thought, I'll watch it for a couple of minutes. I watched it for an hour and a half. And I was just like absorbed in everything he was saying, because he was in London. He was in a drinking culture. He had something about him. He was ambitious. And I just could relate off every word he was saying. And I thought, wow, people actually do go sober. That's actually a thing. I didn't realize it was a thing unless you're pregnant or boring. And so I was like, this guy's not pregnant or boring. He's got something about him. So I thought, right. So I signed up to go on one of his courses, and I sort of did a personal development course with him. And gradually, over a period of probably 6 months, I started reading books and I'm really weighing out. Every time I was not drinking, I was thinking to myself, this feels good. I was sleeping well. I was feeling good. I was losing a bit of weight. But then when I was drinking still, I was consciously drinking. So I was like, am I enjoying this? Am I really enjoying this? Do I really, I can see myself going for another beer, even though I don't really want it. I'm just going for the beer because that's just what I do, or belling it in or doing whatever I do. But I was doing it all consciously. And over a period of time, I was thinking, I can now see myself as sober is the way to go for me. And then the world went into lockdown. And then I was like, right, this is a real T-junction for me, because, you know, I could sit at home and get smashed all day. And that's absolutely fine. That's what the rest of the world's doing. Or this could be my out, because I'm pulled out of London, I'm pulled out of the West End, I'm pulled out of my usual environment, and this could be the opportunity to go back as a new man. And I decided that that was the option I'd take. So I gave up in April of the lockdown, and I've never looked back since. And that's a really long answer to your question.
What a story though, Matt. And I think there's so much to go at with that one. I think firstly, with the tragic loss of your son, and you know, me and Shaz are parents. Yeah, Ben's got stepkids. I think our heart goes out to you, and I can't imagine what that would be like. But to come through that, and that must have been, I say, an unimaginably tough time. And I don't think anyone would blame you for going off the rails. And that's the way that many of us do cope with tragedy, but I think the way that you've turned it around and gone on this new path is inspirational, and it truly is. And I think that that word gets bandied about a bit too often these days, but I think where you've been and where you're at now is truly amazing. So hats off to you for that one. I wanted to talk to you as well about the whole spiritual healer side of things, because I love this stuff, and I've got to admit, and Shaz has laughed at me in the past. I see a spiritual person every now and again.
It was just a smirk, Freddie, just once or twice. That's all. I'm all for it. I want to hear more.
Yeah, and what in terms of that and the person in the pub? Like, tell us about that. Like, did you know who they were? Did you see them again? Like, because this is all sort of moving into the whole, like, you know, the universe aligning and all these sorts of things. What happened with all that?
Yeah, it was mad. Right, like I said, my mum and my sister had been to see spiritualists and mediums, whatever, for my whole life, and I really didn't like it. And probably because I didn't like it, I was very scared of it in hindsight. But I just used to brush under the carpet, thought it was a load of nonsense. It doesn't make any sense to a young lad, doesn't feel like it's real. And it was only when I went to that spiritual reading and I had that half an hour there with her, and she made me feel so at ease about everything. And she could see he was there and he was fine and he was a reoccurring spirit. And I was getting these messages. She didn't know who I was, by the way. I went in with my first name, that was it. So she told me all of this out of nothing. So that was my buying. So I thought, if she knows everything, she doesn't know who I am, which just knows my first name. And all the stuff she told me about, loads of stuff that was like stuff that I told my dad about his cousin who died in a car accident. And he'd like, bloody hell, yeah, he did actually. Like all these things, like sort of like were ticking the boxes for me to be sort of, okay, this is actually real. And yeah, I just felt amazing after that. And I felt really connected to the universe out of nowhere. But didn't really think anything of that. It was just that thing of, I wanted to go back and see her. And she was like, no. She looked at me really, really sternly, and she held me and looked me in the eye, and she said, you won't need to, darling. If we need you, we'll come to you. And I left it at that.
That's
mad. And I was literally outside this pub that I always drank in. And then thank God my mate was with me outside. We were both having a fag. And this guy came over while he was stood next to me, thankfully, because I don't think anyone would have believed it. And I've written about, I've got a book coming out next week, and it's a big part of the book as well, actually. But yeah, he came out of nowhere. He gave me a bit of paper. He screwed up in my hand. And he was talking to me about, like I said, like, Kay. This girl, Kay, she's really good for you, Kay. It's like the flower that's really close to you. And he was talking really fast. And I was like, trying to take it all in, but I was also smashed. So I was not smashed, but I'd been on it the night before and just a bit like delirious. And I think I was at rock bottom moment. So I was a bit like just shocked by it all. And then, yeah, he was telling me, like, you've got two sisters, no brothers, two sisters, no brothers, two sisters, no brothers. And he kept repeating the same thing. And then when he left, I opened this bit of paper up and it said, no brothers, two sisters, flower equals Lily, K equals Kirsty. And like, it just, there was the answers to everything. And I was like, oh my God. I could even like, well, I'm willing up a bit speaking about it because it's just mad how it happens. And from that moment, I've just been banging to like meditation, spirituality, just the universe in general. And I've taken that step further now. I've used it to get out of my old ways and into my new ways. I've used it to write a book. I've used it to like create the Better Life Guy, because what I do now when I run, I find that after I've done a run, I feel we're quite connected. So I sort of like have this routine where I do a 10K run on a Saturday. I sort of finish a mile away from my house and I talk to the sky. And all I do is I talk for like 5-10 minutes and I'm just talking about general stuff. Like, I want to launch an Instagram account. I'm going to call it this. Like, I'm going to make it happen. Like, and just talking it out loud and speaking into existence. And every time I do it, I walk the same bit of road and say the same things. And it's really amazing now, because that was, you know, a while ago. That was probably 12, 13 months ago I started doing that. And in that time, I've started Better Life Guy. I've now written the book that I was speaking about writing. It's getting published next week. And all this stuff, it just makes up part of who I am now. And I truly believe in it. And I think it just makes me able to deal with the loss of Rocco as well a lot easier, because I know that there's more to it than just this meat suit we're in now.
Matt, I've got a quotes board here, because I'm that kind of guy that likes to pin quotes to his board. You mentioned Andy Ramage. I've got one here. You can achieve any goal you set when you have a plan and show up. That's from Andy's book, Let's Do This, which was a real game changer for me personally. Just on that speaking it into existence thing, is that you planning? You're having a plan and then you're showing up? Or is that you talking to the universe and in, you know, the style of The Secret, the law of attraction, because you've spoken it into existence, it's then come to you? Is it a bit of both?
Well, so I'll give you an example. So what I do, I've just used a really, what I thought was a good analogy of my wife, actually. I was telling her, I basically had a year ago, I had a really good time of it with like fitness, health. I was really onto it. I was meditating every day. I was talking to the sky all the time. And I knew I wanted to write a book and start an Instagram account. And almost what I did was took a deep breath. And for a year, I've just hammered it. Written a book, worked my ass off, started A Better Life Guide, got 20,000 followers. And it's now that I don't have necessarily a next step. There's things I could do, but what I've decided to do is launch my book and sit tight for a minute and then get back into really hardcore running, spirituality, meditation. And I know, because I've got a greater goal and my future goal of where I want to be when I'm older, where I want to live, what I want to earn, who I want to help, all these things are bigger goals. They're going to, this whole personal development, sort of like 6 weeks I'll go into now, this will all come to, my next move will come through that. I don't necessarily know what that'll be, but I know that it will come to me. And Freddie knows through running, like running's my, where my ideas come from. If I'm not sure what I'm going to do next, I go for a run. And I honestly say my book and my everything I've done so far has come from just ideas while I've been out running. So I'd say it probably is a mixture of all of it, but I think you have to have a clear vision of the future to pull you forward. Without that, it becomes quite, you get pulled back into the sort of inevitable paths, if you like.
I know we're jumping around with the questions a bit, and the reason I love this is because it's so much bigger than just sobriety. It's real life-changing stuff. And with where you want to go, Matt, and in terms of your big goals and everything else, do you see that being through sobriety, or do you feel that you need to be sober to achieve those goals?
I actually don't. I didn't know. But the more I'm going down this path of sobriety, the more I'm thinking that's what it is. I just feel so passionate about it. And I think the trajectory I've got on my Instagram kind of gives me a confidence to know that if I can do that whilst also working a really quite a taxing job full time, what can I do full time in that? If I did start my own podcast, if I did, you know, do like global events, which is something I'm thinking of doing, like bringing the world together through the power. So you guys do with this, but like more of an event, like create some sort of community where I go to New York, I go to Dubai, I go to Australia, and I chair like the events, and I'm the face of the events. And then from there, we're all part of a bigger community. So that's what I'm thinking at the minute. I imagine if I had to put a guess on, I'd say that it probably would be through the world of sobriety. And it is an emerging market. And I think if you only have to look at the alcohol-free drinks industry as an indicator to how quickly this whole thing's growing. So I think, why not? Because it's such an emerging market. There's such an appetite for it. There's more people doing it than ever. And people are getting more and more into their wellness, their fitness, their mental health. And actually, alcohol has a detrimental effect on all of that. So you remove that one problem, you get everything else back. Yeah, I feel passionate enough to think that probably is what I'll do.
It is so difficult, I think, on this journey, because I think a lot of people have, you know, they say, I want to do this, or I want to start an Instagram account, or I want to, yeah, we all, and I was there as well. I was always like, I want to do this, I want to do that. But then just, yeah, I'd quite like a drink as well. So I'd go and have the drink. But I think even once we get sober, and it's something that we say a lot on the podcast, is that it isn't just about putting down the bottle. It is about having the right mindset and looking after yourself and building that self-belief and having that clear goal that you're working towards. And being sober, I think, yeah, gives people an amazing shot at that, but it has to be more behind that as well, which is why I think that the work that Andy's doing, that you're doing, is so powerful.
Yeah, I completely agree, mate. And that's what, in my book, I've written, I'm not continuously plugging that, by the way, just because it's just coming out.
You've got a book and, coming out, mate.
Did I mention it? But in that book, I've written it. There's two things that kind of back up what you're saying. I call myself the Better Life Guy, not the sober guy, because I'm conscious that sobriety is just part of it. I don't know, I just want a better life. And without sobriety, I can't have a better life. I can have better days, I can have better weeks, but I can't have a better life. So that's why I called myself that, keep things quite simple. And in my book, which is Better Me, Better You, is literally what I've done step by step, chronological order of how I've got from being a real wreck, a rock bottom, to where I am now, which is feeling better than I've ever felt, despite what I've been through. And within that, the process, alcohol is just one part of that. But there's like mindset, there's personal development, there's nutrition, there's exercise, spirituality, there's all of it. And I think that all of that combined, that's where the magic happens. And I was talking to, I do like a sober masterclass, which I've got a class at the minute for the month of November. And I was talking to them about this thing that I call a sobergasm, which is a real life thing that's happened to a few of us, where you get this like,
just what?
You get a sobergasm. It's where everything lines up, where you get the right amount of sleep, you're nutritionally like balanced, you're exercising, you're not drinking, all this thing, you get this like shuddery feeling where from your head to your toes, and it's called a sobergasm. I'm making it up, but I'm claiming it, I'm painting in it. And that's
it only
what
takes 2 minutes as well, I've heard.
So yeah, that's what people are at the end of the day, that's what people are working towards. That's why people have a drink, because you get that artificially. But this is like getting it in reality. So I think you're right, mate. I think all of those things combined is what we're after. There's no point being sober and having and sitting there eating a load of shit and, you know, watching Netflix and wasting your life. If you're going to get sober, you've got a great chance of getting, do something with your life, feeling, you know, reversing the aging process, taking on challenges, whatever it is, and really, you know, living with a fulfillment.
Matt, we talk to so many people on the pod, and I think we all include ourselves in this, and so many of our community members as well. When you go sober, it's... we're very much all or nothing. So in our drinking days, it was all the drink. You know, speaking for myself, it was all the rosé wine, all the vodka Red Bulls. And I became just as obsessed about not drinking as I used to be about drinking. And I put heart and soul into, you know, all the Quitlet, all the Instagram accounts, all the sober podcasts, immersed myself in all that. And when you started chatting to us, you shared, it's so painful that you lost little Rocco as a baby, and those are such dark times. And then fast forward to where you are now, and you also said that, you know, your Instagram, it's the brightest, it's the most fun, and it's the polar opposite of those dark days. Is that what's propelled you to be that better life guy now, and to not to get away from those dark times, because you never will, but to turn it into something so positive and so inspiring for other people?
Definitely. Yeah. I think that's given me, you know, his death has given me something. Yeah. I know it sounds really morbid, but when I was carrying his coffin down the thing at the funeral was like obviously one of the most painful things that anyone could ever do. And at that moment, I felt like something entered me, like something, some feeling of like purpose that I didn't have before. And I now feel like this is it. I felt different. Some bit of strength came into me, because you need it at that moment. But it stuck with me, and it's given me this like real drive. And, you know, you think, right, fuck it, I'm going to do something in my life here, and I'm going to really do something. If I'm going to do it, I'm not going to fuck around. I'm going to do it properly, and I'm going to change the world, and I'm going to go out on a mission, and I can't see anything stopping me, because I've got this innate like hunger and desire that just gets me up every day, and I live it, I breathe it, and I think that's probably why it's resonated with so many people. But yeah, I think without that, you know, I wouldn't have had that purpose and drive, and I wouldn't have needed to stop drinking either. I probably would have just ticked over just being normal in the normal cycle that everyone sort of finds themselves trapped in generally.
We're Sound Rebel, and we just wanted to let you know a bit more about us.
Sound Rebel produced this podcast, and we work with all sorts of personalities to help them engage with their current audiences.
We work with actors, football commentators, comedians, personal trainers, radio presenters, hello, influencers, and even world record holders.
So, if you've got an audience but don't have a podcast, get in touch with us. Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and take your place in the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world.
Right, back to the episode.
We get asked so many times, Matt, it's dead simple. How do you stop drinking? How do you do it? How do you pick yourself up after a fall? You know, I know there are people listening to this that didn't think they could get 1 week in, 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, but they are, they're doing it now. They're a month in, the more that they're smashing it. And then some people trip up again and it's really soul destroying. And we just want to go, you know what? You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. What would your advice be for those tricky moments that bite you on the arse and they might send you back to day one?
Well, I've got, like, this is why I started my Sober Masterclass, because I wanted to, I've got basically what I did and how I did it and how I went sober. And I now teach that in a format of like practical tips, but also I talk about everything other than drinking. And I think what people are guilty of is like going, right, I'm gonna stop drinking, but I'm still going to sit in the same place, my wife watching the same TV, eating the same dinner. And that way you've got to grind it out. You've got to use your willpower. I think what people don't do is all the other stuff that Freddie spoke about, all the personal development, all the reading, all the writing, starting a new hobby, running, starting exercise, learn a language, create a vision for yourself, which is something I'm really passionate about. Because if you go into your car and you're going on a journey, you don't put something in your sat nav, you don't know where you're going. So you're just going to go and drive around, 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 around. I think that's what people do in life. They're just getting up every day and they're just driving around, around. They're not going with any purpose. If you actually set your sat nav for somewhere in the future, you know that every single day you're taking a step or you're driving in the right direction. There might be bumps in the road. There might be road closures, but you're actually always going on the right journey. You're always on the right path. So I think that's one thing. You've got to have something to work towards, whether that's a vision, whether it's ambition, whether a challenge or whatever it is. I think without that, forget about it, because you're going to inevitably just fall back into your previous behavior. And I don't blame people that do that, but people don't know that. And that's why I'm quite passionate about sort of teaching it now, because it's a really big part of it. I think the drinking side of it is just a very small part of going sober. There's so much more that you have to do to make it work and to make it stick. And that's what people, that information's just not out of there.
Thank you for that, Matt. We can see some messages coming in from community members that are watching. So I think we'll ask a couple of those because I know we are pressed for time. Davina says here, though, Matt, your driving enthusiasm is giving me a real buzz. I feel a whole new level of excitement for my life. That is what we love. That is amazing. And Davina's question for you, Matt, what distances do you run and what fitness goals do you set for yourself?
Well, I used to, my generic running week is usually a 5K, 5K, 10K, so like 20K a week. I usually run three times a week and do other stuff as well, like spinning or whatever. At the minute, I started doing, because I had COVID 6 weeks ago, and I was actually running in a 5K run, and I was going so slow because my heart rate monitor was going through the roof, and I didn't know I had COVID. I swear someone like walked their dog past me. I was going so slow, so I couldn't figure what was going on. It led me to sort of read about the whole zone one heart rate. And again, Andy Ramage does a lot with zone one. So I've started running recently using my heart rate monitor only. So not running at a time, not running, you know, just other than just sticking at 140 beats per minute, which is really painfully slow. But I'm starting to do it that way so that I can really build it up. And I've never trained that way. And I'm liking it so far. It's really enjoyable. It's less impact. It's less injury. And yeah, so that's I've got no goal at the minute. I'd like to stick myself in for a half marathon in a few weeks. And I'd like to do some sort of bigger challenge, like 100K or something next year. But yeah, I'll just do it because I love it. It clears my mind. It gives me ideas and it burns a few calories. But nothing like what Freddie gets up to.
Yeah, we can put you in touch with somebody who does equally bonkers things. Hi, Freddie. You got a question for Matt there?
Yeah, and I was going to say, just on the running, Matt, you talk about visions of the future and everything else. And I do actually mean this. I've got a vision of you doing the London Marathon. Like, I know, I just know that's going to happen at some stage or some year in the future. So I look forward to hearing more about that one.
Well, I've actually done it, but I did it, funny enough, I did it when Rocco died. I did it for the Lullaby Trust, which is a charity for sudden death syndrome. But I really didn't enjoy it because I was so emotional. I could not get myself together. It was just brutal emotionally. I trained for it and I trained really well. But when the day came, it just didn't work. Like, my legs didn't work. My mind didn't work. My family were all around London, like cuddling me and grabbing me, and people were shaming. And actually, funny you say that, because now I've got a thing where I desperately want to do the marathon properly without that. I want to do it for maybe the Better Life Guy things or maybe whatever else it is, but do it, create, maybe get a team of people to do it. And that is definitely part of what I want to do in the future as well. So you're right.
Definitely. Well, I say, I think we could help you make that happen. Absolutely. I'll go on to another question. This is from other Freddie in the audience. And she says, really inspiring, Matt. I love the concept of improving your whole life, not just stopping drinking. I know you did the sober boat trip on the Thames earlier this year. She wants to push herself out of her comfort zone and meet other sober people. So are you planning any more events?
Yes, I am. I was going to do a Christmas party. The problem with events is in London is this, it, financially making it work, because obviously people, the reason I did the boat party was because there was a certain minimum charge, but I could fulfill that with alcohol-free drinks. I could stock all the bar. But going into bars, restaurants, pubs, clubs in London at Christmas, they want an extortionate amount of money for a minimum spend. And obviously you then got to charge a customer an extortionate amount of money to come to a sober party to drink non-alcoholic drinks. So it's just, I'm just at the minute trying to find something that works. But next year, I've got a plan to do a quarterly event. I'm actually teaming up with Andy, actually. We're doing a few together. And the boat party was so successful. That was my first ever event, and we sold 120 tickets. And they do a boat which is holds 260 people. So we're going to go big time on the old boat next year. But I've got nothing as at the minute, but I'm hoping a Christmas do. If not, there'll be four next year, and they'll be global as well.
Well, you are more than welcome to come and do one in this part of the world. I know I'm going to be setting foot in the UK at some point next year around the summertime. But yeah, I think let's all just meet in Bali, guys. I think that's a pretty good approach as well. Let's all just jump on a plane. We'll all bring our Speedos along. And yeah we'll
Ben's,
just like hang
yeah,
out
Ben's got
sober
his
Bali.
Smugglers, hasn't he? We know that from his trip to Mallorca earlier this year.
Let's move on to Kerry's question, eh, Shaz? Let's not talk about my budgie smugglers.
Non-existent
budgie smugglers.
You lie.
They only exist in your mind, Sharon Hartley. That's
and
the only
I,
place
and I like
buddies.
It. Matt, Kerry says, amazing story, Matt. How did your friends and family respond to you making these changes to your life, changing your outlook in life? Were they supportive and did they get it?
Yeah, weirdly, my old man who I spoke about earlier, who was a big like not like a full-time drinker, but like never drank in the mornings. He was quite sensible, but just drank regularly. He was, when I said it to him, I could see in his eyes, he was like, he wanted a bit of it, but he actually gave up with me on the spot and did 99 days with me, but then went back to drinking. But then I think he then went into that conscious drinking. And he then, on my 1 year anniversary in April this year, he gave up again, and he's been sober ever since. So it's been six and a bit months. So I never would have thought he'd have done that. And then that inadvertently, my mum's cut down because my dad doesn't drink. My wife gave up on the spot with me. So she's been sober with me ever since. My sister is not really a big drinker. A lot of my friends, what's happened with my friends is a lot of the ones I drank heavily with, I see less of, and I've got a whole new set of friends in the sober space usually that I see more of. So like me and Andy meet up once a week in London. We always meet up and we have a good few hours together, and he's like a classic good friend of mine now. But I still love and care for all my friends, but we just, when we see each other, it's a couple of hours over lunch, and that would have ended up being a couple of days. But yeah, I think my general advice for people on that is people are a lot more supportive than you think they will be. I was really worried about it, and actually there was nothing to be worried about, because people want to see you live a better life and they want a piece of it themselves. They just want someone to be the first person to take the plunge usually.
Yeah, and actually, Matt, when you make the changes yourself, I've noticed it in my family in particular. I always thought they were, they loved a drink. They were never asked. It was always me, you know, being the one to fill the glasses up because I want another drink, to go and get another round from the bar to get everybody else a drink because I wanted another drink. And when I stopped, everybody around me and my family were like, Shaz, we were never that bothered. And nobody really touches it in my family anymore. And it's really, really quite enjoyable. It was all my fault.
Yeah, exactly. We're the problem, aren't we? Take us out of the equation. Everyone's all right.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. Jenny has mentioned your boat trip again, asking about if there's going to be another and will she be able to get tickets. But you've touched on that. Quarterly events coming up with the one and only Ramage, who we are big fans of. on this podcast. Matt, we think he's a wonderful guy.
Yeah, legend. Love him. We're trying to make something work together as sort of a business idea, but it's so difficult to try and, you know, it's a difficult space anyway to try and make something work. To try and do it together is even more difficult, but we're definitely going to do some events together and sort of start. We're going to start a world tour. We're going to do Ireland first, and we might do America next year, and then we'll branch out from there. But yeah, he's a great guy. He's a legend in my eyes.
He is, yeah. He's absolutely wonderful. Jenny also says, are you going to do any further training with Andy Matt?
Yes, I'm going to go on his coaching in January. So if anyone's not sure about that, have a look. He's just announced it today, actually, the next course. So have a look. It's on January. I think it starts at the end of January. It's a six-month course. And it's going to be really good. I can see someone saying, Jenny saying, and she's on it as well.
Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. I'm conscious, Ben, that we are running out of time.
Well, we are, Shaz. I was going to say to you, actually, would you like to lead us into an outro? And Matt hasn't mentioned it, but a little bird told me he's got a book coming out.
So yeah, I was just going to pick up on that. Yeah.
Make sure you get that in there.
Matt, you have got a book coming out next week. Give it a quick plug. Tell us what it's called and what it's about.
Yes, it's out on the Wednesday, the 24th of November. It's called Better Me, Better You. It's about, but the first kind of quarter of it is a bit of my life story. So a bit more background on the whole story and how I sort of, what I went through and sort of how it all played out basically into the point where I sort of started coming out the other side. So it talks about the spirituality side, the really low points, the actual dark day itself and all that sort of, just to give context to the book. And then, like I said, it works the way through sort of like how I started to make the changes, and every section is better me, better you. So for example, mindset would be better me. So how my mindset changed about getting on the tube, discovering that podcast, how I felt after that. And then the better you bit is what I suggest for you. So it's literally step-by-step instructions for someone to read or for someone to give someone as a gift who they think needs help, but they're not sure how to help them. It's kind of a blueprint to living a better life, really. So yeah, that's it. And hopefully it's going to change those people's lives, and it provides me with a bit of more of, I suppose, credibility within the space, because it's sort of a year's worth of my hard work and my whole life story put on paper. So I hope it helps as many people as it helps me writing it.
Matt, thank you. And I think, the book aside, you're already changing lives. You've been doing that on your Instagram, and to share what you've done with us on the pod today, talking about, you know, a really, really painful situation in your personal life to where you are now, better life guy, colourful, fun, inspiring others. You know, it really is a hell of a turnaround, and every credit. And I also, these podcasts never go the way we sort of expect. We've hardly spoken about drinking tonight on this pod, which I think has been brilliant, because there's just too much else going on in your life. So that is wonderful. Thank you for being here. Thank you for inspiring us and our community members. And Matt, just remind people where they can follow you if they want to find out what you do on social media.
Yeah, like I said, mainly on Instagram. So better_life_guy. I'm on Facebook as well, Better Life Guy. And I've also got a website, betterlifeguy.com.
Amazing. Matt, it's been absolutely awesome. I had high hopes for this episode, and you've absolutely surpassed them. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. One thing we do for our Over the Influence members as well is we run a monthly masterclass session. We have some of the world's best speakers, best thought leaders in the whole alcohol-free and personal development space. Andy's coming in there. We'd love to have you coming back and hosting one of those sessions as well sometime in 2022.
Yeah, I'd absolutely love to, mate. I'd love to. I love what you guys are doing. I think it's amazing. And I'm just so grateful for you guys in this space, and I'm so grateful to be a part of it. And thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. I hope tonight's recording hasn't put you off spending time with us.
No, I love it. I'm up for the Bali meet. Let's meet in Bali. I'm game.
If you're there, Matt, I'm there. I'm packing my bikini as we speak. Absolutely brilliant invite. Freddie, thank you.
Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you. Meet Ian,
Hi guys, I'm Ian, 370 something days alcohol free as of today. Love OTI, love Shaz, Ben and Freddie, really speak my language, find the Zoom calls really useful. It's really important, I think, to surround yourself with people who get it. And I think, unfortunately, in today's world, I think you can often feel like a bit of an outcast when you take the break and actually stop drinking. And therefore, it's really important to know that there's thousands of people like you out there who feel the same. Personally, I don't necessarily miss drinking, but I do sort of worry too much about what other people think. And I think, therefore, just to be able to sort of sound off with other people about how you feel about that and get a common sense response is just vital. So keep up the good work. I'll be staying close to everything that you do, and I'll speak to you all soon. Take care.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk and be part of the Sober Rebellion.